all the women here who are called in some form or fashion to mother people in their lives and nurture people and love people. And so we pray that there will be a special impartation of your love today. All the women here, and we come and we come before you, and we're grateful for women. And we're grateful for the women that are here. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing our new sermon series called A New Season, and the title of today's message is Fulfilling Our New Job Description. And I wanted to start off with a little video that went viral the last couple of years about a job description. And I think it just helps to preface a job description that we're going to read in 1 Timothy 3. By the way, the passage for today is 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 16. And so you can turn there in your Bibles. And that passage will be up on the screen, but I do encourage you to turn there if you have your Bibles so that you can see it in context. And I'm going to mention some things in context in that passage. But let's take a look at this video that I think helps to prepare us and get us thinking about job descriptions and what this passage has to say about it. So let's take a look at this video, about 4 minutes, about a job description. Let's take a look.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you, sorry.
Uh-huh.
2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job, it's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is gonna go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing it for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
So obviously this video is about moms, about a job description of moms, but in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there's actually a job description for us as Christians. And we're going to take a look at this job description. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to put it up here on the screen in list format just so you could see it more clearly. There's three categories, one for church leaders, and then for deacons, and then for women. Now, before you check out, before you're like, you know, well, you're not one of these categories, I want to remind us that 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says that we are all a royal priesthood. So when it says church leaders or overseers or bishops or pastors, it's referring to a category of people, a job title specifically, as is written to Timothy, but it's also written to all of us. And then when it says deacons, the Greek word for deacon actually just simply means servant. So even if we don't have a title of deacon, but we're all called to be servants in God's kingdom, in God's church, right? And then there's this job description for women, and certainly that would apply to 50% in the room, and some translations would say wives, and so there's that job description that's there. And so can we just read it out loud? Just, we're going to read it through as a list. It's up here in New Living Translation format, and so let's just read it through. Okay, job description for church leaders. Let's read that first together. Life must be above reproach, must be faithful to his wife, must exercise self-control, must live wisely, must have a good reputation, must enjoy having guests in his home, must be able to teach, must not be a heavy drinker, must not be violent, must be gentle, must not be quarrelsome, must not love money, must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him, and must not be a new believer. People outside the church must speak well of him. So that's a job description of church leaders, again, for all of us as a royal priesthood. And let's read a job description for deacons, servants. Here's what it says. Let's read it together. Must be well-respected, must have integrity, must not be heavy drinkers, must not be dishonest with money, must be committed to the faith, must live with a clear conscience, must be closely examined before appointed, must be faithful to his wife, must manage his children and household well. And finally, let's read the job description for women, or in some translation, wives. Let's read it together. Must be respected, must not slander others, must exercise self-control, must be faithful in everything they do. Now, when you read these job descriptions, you might have a similar response to those people in the video. You know, this is incredible. This is maybe even, you would say, inhumane. Is this humanly possible to fulfill all of these job descriptions that God speaks to Timothy, that God's speaking to the Ephesian church that Timothy was leading? And I wanted to say that Paul doesn't just end up just giving this job description. He recognizes that it's stressful and could be pressurized, but he goes on in verse 14 through 16. That's the passage that we'll be on today. So this is 1 through 13, and then we're going to read 14 through 16. How are we going to fulfill the job description that God gives to us? Let's read together 14 through 16. How are we going to fulfill this job description? It's up here in the NIV translation, so let's read it out loud together. This is Paul's word to Timothy, to the church in Ephesus, and God's word to us. Let's read together. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The title of our sermon series is A New Season. And certainly for Timothy, for the church in Ephesus, they were entering into a new season. Timothy was a relatively young pastor. He was about 40 years old, most scholars would say. And he was going to take over the church in Ephesus. Paul was the one that was leading that church, had done great things in the church in Ephesus. And at this point, as Paul is writing this letter to him, he's about to hand over the church to this 40-year-old, relatively young pastor. And as Timothy was going to take on this role of leading this church forward, you could imagine that it was kind of pressurized. It was stressful. Imagine the other jobs that you are entering into, or the other ministries that you enter into, or the family responsibilities that you have. Sometimes it could be pressurized. It could be stressful. You might be sitting here this morning stressed about the responsibilities or the job description that you even that you have right now. And so for Timothy, there was this aspect of being pressurized and being stressed. And in fact, in the way that Paul said it in verse 15, it was really stressful. Let's read verse 15 together again. Now, Paul was saying that he wanted to come to Ephesus to deliver this job description to him. And verse 15, Paul says this. Let's read it together again. It says, "If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household." I'm going to emphasize the word ought or should. I usually try to stay away from using the word should, because there's a saying that you could should people to death. There's a lot of shoulds in our lives. There's maybe this morning that you're sitting here, there's a list of things that you should do, and it's pressurized. There's a job description that you have, responsibilities that you have. There's things that you ought to do, that you should do. Maybe you haven't done them yet, and you're sitting here, and you're thinking about them and all the rest. And certainly in verse 1 through 13, there is a list of oughts. It's pressurized. I mean, to live that life out for Timothy or for the church in Ephesus, for us certainly, Paul was saying, you ought to do this. You should do this. You should live these. You should live this kind of godly life. The list, and for the overseers, the list for the deacons, the list for the women, Paul said, this is the way that you ought to live. He was telling this to Timothy, telling this to the church of Ephesus, God's words included in the canon of scripture for us. We ought to live this life. And it could be pressurized. It could be stressful. But Paul doesn't stop there, because Paul continues to go on. He says to them, you ought to live this way, but wait, because I'm about to tell you how you're going to live this impossible life. That you might say, wow, this is inhumane. Is this even humanly possible? And Paul says, I'm going to tell you how you're going to live this godly life in Christ that I'm calling you to. How you're going to be able to step into your new role. How you're going to step into your new season, into your new job description, your new job responsibilities, your new family responsibilities, or whatever it is. Verse 16, let's read it together. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. I'm going to emphasize the word here, mystery. In the New Testament, about a dozen times, the gospel message is mentioned as a mystery. So we would do well to find out exactly what that Greek word means. And so I'm going to put up here a little definition, a little commentary on this word, mystery, mysterion in the Greek. This is the original word. It says the root of the English term mystery in the Bible. A mystery is not something unknowable. Rather, it is what can only be known through revelation, i.e., because God reveals it. I'm going to use a little imagery here just to help illustrate the point that Paul is trying to convey. God told us that he has a gift for us. He told us long ago in the Old Testament, he had told them that there was a gift that was going to be coming. But it was a mystery. No one fully knew what that gift was. Certainly there was prophetic words. There was hints about what the gift was, but it was a mystery. And Paul was saying, mysterion, this word, that it wasn't just a mystery that is just simply unknowable, no one can know. But he was saying that there was going to come a time where there was going to be a revealing, a revelation, a full revelation. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, listen, I told you need to live a godly life, that you ought to. This whole list, you ought to do. You should do it. But he's saying, but I need to remind you about the gospel message. I need to remind you of that there was a revelation, that it was a mystery, that no one fully knew it, but that there would come a time when this would be fully revealed. And so Paul was telling him that there would come a time that it would be fully revealed, that he would fully know and understand the extravagance, the impact of this gift. And I use this cross just to illustrate that he was speaking of Jesus. That he was saying that there was going to come a time that there will be a full revelation of Jesus. But note the rest of verse 16. The rest of verse 16 is a creedal hymn that brings a description, a full description, all-encompassing of every single aspect of Jesus. Let's read that together. This is the rest of verse 16, this creedal hymn of a description of Jesus, the full revelation. Let's read it out loud together. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Just to break this down a little bit, he said he appeared in the flesh. That in this revelation of Jesus, of where this godliness was going to spring forth, where the power was going to be to fulfill his new job description, Paul was saying it comes in the form of the humility of Jesus to appear in the flesh. So that it was the power of Jesus, that Jesus was even attended by angels, that the Bible tells us. Also, it says that it was vindicated by the Spirit, or I would say that there would be an authentication of the power and reality of Jesus Christ as a Messiah by the signs and wonders that began to follow his ministry, the greatest sign and wonder of which was him rising from the dead, overcoming sin, overcoming death, being the firstborn among the dead. It says that he was the one that was taken up in glory, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of the Father God in all of his glory. It says that this message of Jesus, this full revelation of Jesus, was going to be something that was going to be preached to the nations all over the world to this day that is still happening. So Paul was telling Timothy, listen, I'm giving you a long list that we just read earlier. Those were heavy things. Lots of things that he was to do, that he ought to do, that he should do. Telling the church in Ephesus, the deacons, the women, these are the things that you should do. Canonizing the scripture, these are the things that we should do. But Paul was telling Timothy that there was no way that he was going to be able to do this without a full revelation of who Jesus was. And I want to say, before we say, well, you know, I accepted Christ already, I have a full revelation of Jesus. Listen, Timothy was already a Christian when this was written to him. He was being ordained, installed as a pastor of the church. He was already a Christian. But Paul was telling him, listen, you have some new responsibilities. You are entering into a new season. I'm elevating you into new positions. Some of us have new careers, new family situations, new marriages, new kids, new family, nuances, etc. Some of us in this room literally received some new job descriptions lately. Right? And Paul was saying, listen, the only way that you're going to fulfill this is with the full revelation of Jesus. Being in the very presence of Jesus, being in the humility of Jesus, the power of Jesus, vindicated by the Spirit, signs and wonders accompanying the ministry. With the glory of Jesus being displayed in us, amongst us, the glory of God coming amongst us, that's the way that we're going to fulfill our new job descriptions. The passage in verse 16 says, listen, the mystery that has been revealed is great, and this is where godliness is going to spring forth, where you're going to begin to spring out into the godliness, into fulfilling this job description, and whatever job description it is for you, and whatever it is for me, the way that we're going to do it is with a full revelation of Jesus. I want to tell you why I felt like it was so important to preach this message, this passage to us this morning. I find that it's so interesting that our situation in our church, in VOH, in so many ways, is interestingly similar to the situation that was happening in the church in Ephesus to Timothy. Timothy was a relatively young pastor, 40 years old. He's ready to step into a new role, a new season. I'm thinking about for myself, I just turned 39 years old, so about the same age, coming into a new role. Some of you know that recently we just transitioned to me being the co-lead pastor with Pastor Kwan of the overall church, Chinese and English. We talked about the area pastoral role, that our church begins to be the area church amongst the nine vineyard churches in the Southern California, Los Angeles area. It's a new season for our church. I literally received in my email a new job description for the area pastor role. And listen, it's pressurized. There is a list of oughts in that job description. There's a list of things that I should do. And there's a list of things that you, in your life, whether it's a physical job description or a theoretical, things that you should do. And we got to say, well, how are we going to do those things? There was already a list of things that I ought to do. Now there's another list of things that, on top of that, that I ought to do. And when I was away for 8 days last week, we weren't literally away, but I was just away from the ministry. I felt like I just needed to just take some time to hear from God. God gave me this passage for me, but I felt like it was for the church. There's a list of things that we ought to do. I mean, the list, to be exact, is verse 1 through 13. But there's other things too, right, in our lives that we ought to do that we should do. And Paul was saying that the only way that Timothy was going to step into his new role, into a new season, was with the full revelation of Jesus. And I want to tell you that in this new season for us, we got to put that at the forefront of our prayers. We got to put it at the forefront of our prayers that we need a full revelation of Jesus. It's not just talking about salvation. Remember, for Timothy, he was already a Christian a long time. But Paul wanted to give this word to him in a new season, that he had to put it at the forefront of his prayers, at the forefront of his mind, at the forefront of whatever he was doing, the forefront of the things of fulfilling this new job description. He needed to put it at the forefront, that with a desperation, I need a full revelation of Jesus and all of who Jesus is. You know, some of us are doing the 180 turnaround Bible reading plan. We got to put it at the forefront of our prayers. That when we're doing our devotions, we have a full revelation of Jesus. That out of those times of quiet times and times with God would spring forth godliness, like verse 16 is talking about. That out of those times is going to spring forth the fulfillment of the job descriptions that God gives to us. Listen, we got to put it at the forefront of our lives, of our church in this season. Can I put it like this? The enemy was not able to stop all these new things. The enemy was not able to stop this new building, the payoff of it, October 31st, then the real payoff of it on February 21st, the full portion. God was not, Satan was not able to stop the new sanctuary and all of that. God was not able, Satan was not able to stop the new area role for us as a church, et cetera, et cetera. The enemy was not able to stop those things or those things in your lives, the places and positions that God has you in your lives. The enemy was not able to stop it. But you know what the enemy wants to do right now? Is he wants to stop you at the job description so that you just feel pressurized and stressed with a list of things that you ought to do and that you should do, verse 1 through 13, or whatever job description it is for you. And listen, we need to turn it on the enemy. We need to declare it over our lives, over our quiet times, over our church, over our season, that we cannot do it on our own strength. We cannot do it the old way. But we can do it if we have a full revelation of Jesus and all of who Jesus is. And out of that full revelation, that says godliness is going to spring forth, or your fulfillment of your job description is going to spring forth, is what God's word is to us and to our church in this season, and to your life in your season, and to your family in your season, and to your relationship in this season, to whatever situation it is in your season, and certainly to our church. And I would even say to our generation in this season. As we close, I just felt like that we just needed to minister to each other. And we're going to close with a song that many of you are familiar with. We sing it here in our church called Fullness, about a full revelation. There's just a couple of lines from this song. It says, pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house. Those are powerful words, because that's exactly what we need. That's exactly what we need in this season to fulfill our job description in this season, or to fulfill, at an even broader level, verses 1 through 13 and all that God calls us to. That we would say in our hearts, pour it out. Let your love run over. Let the Father's love run over in our lives. Let his love run over out of our church. Here and now. That's something that's really key for us as a Vineyard church. That it's not something that's distant. That it's not some other time. It's not some other place. But that it's got to be an inbreaking of God's kingdom in our lives here and now. Because we have a job description here and now. We have godliness to fulfill here and now. And so we need here and now God's love and God's glory in our lives and in our church. We need it here and now in order to fulfill what God has called us to do. And we need it in our house, in this house, here and now. And that's got to be at the forefront of our prayers. That's got to be in our hearts. That's got to be our daily prayer, to be in the fullness of God's presence, to be in the fullness of a revelation of Jesus and all that he is. It's got to be there at the forefront of our church in this new season. Can we minister to each other this morning? Because there are some of us in this room, honestly, as I look around, many of us in this room that are in a new season. There's something that's happening right now, or there's something even just a little further ahead, and it's new, it's fresh, and there's responsibilities attached to it. There's job descriptions that are attached to it, whether it's literal or figurative or theoretical, but there's responsibilities that are attached to these callings and these new seasons that God has us in. We need a full revelation of Jesus. We need here and now for his glory to fill this house, where the Bible talks about us as temples of the Holy Spirit. We need him to fill this house, his glory to fill this house, so that we'll fulfill the things that God calls us to. Let's pray together. Can I invite the worship team, if you could come forward at this time, prayer team, if you can come forward at this time as well. Now, there's some of us in new seasons, new job responsibilities, new job descriptions. It could be real, like literal work, literal job descriptions, but maybe just responsibilities or ministries or family situations, and I just feel like we need to pray for each other, for our full revelation of Jesus. That's how we would accomplish the things he calls us to. Can you put your hand up if you're in a new season, some new responsibilities, new job descriptions, new things, and you're saying, man, I need a full revelation of Jesus in order to accomplish the things that lay ahead of me. Just hand all the way up. I just feel like we need to pray for you. Just come on forward. If you raise your hand, come on forward. Let's pray together. We need a full revelation of Jesus. That's the only way. That was the only way forward for Timothy, for the church in Ephesus. That is the only way forward for us. If you got some new responsibilities, you're in a new season, the only way forward is a full revelation of Jesus. Father, pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house. Our prayer team, we're gonna pray in just a moment. But all of us, let's stand together. Let's all stand together. Just put your hands out, palms up to heaven. Full revelation of Jesus. Fill us up, Lord. Pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house. Before we begin to pray, and we're going to begin to lay hands on people and just pray, but let's just sing just a few verses of this song. It's God who you need to minister to you, to fill you up, to bring a revelation of Jesus into your life in this season and to our church. And I stand here to represent our church. God, give us a full revelation, Jesus, of who you are, all that you are.